Hello and welcome to a special presentation from In the Money Media, done in association with our friends at Santa Anita, with a little extra push from our friends over at America's Best Racing. This is a pick six show for Santa Anita Derby Day. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatel, far from the Brooklyn bunker, but I am in a place that is as cold as New York, if not colder. That's Lexington, Kentucky, getting ready for some big racing here, but brought the Santa Anita shirt with me because one eye will be on this excellent card for Santa Anita Derby Day, and we reconvene a team who the last time we saw them gave you winner after winner. We'll start with the man who is one of the most popular guests we've ever had on these airwaves. He's a professional horse player coming to us from California, though not his normal home base. He is the recent NHC Hall of Famer, Duke Matisse. Duke, how are things?
Everything's all right, Pete. I'm out in the desert. No need for the praise, Chappie. It's not like I'm in the real Hall of Fame. I'd like to be in the Hall of Fame in Saratoga. That'd be nice. Put my picture out there would be something. But anyway, I'm out in the desert, actually, and it's windy today. It's beautiful but windy. So it's about 80 degrees, and the wind is howling. So hopefully that doesn't come through Santa Anita on Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully not. We do need a horse player wing in the Hall of Fame, or at least like a cool exhibit. That's a good idea. I mean, you know, Len Ragazin, Andy Beyer, Steve Crist, these guys, they can start off, and then you can be in class two.
Yeah, we could do that. We should come up with that idea.
It's not a bad idea, actually, as I think about it here for a second. Harvey Pack, another one I would nominate for our inaugural class. Let's bring in a man who the last time we talked to him, he's like, oh, I'm not sure about me. Boom, here's a $20 horse, here's an $18 horse, here's a $26 horse. He had absolute flames coming off of his body on his last appearance, and he's just always a pleasant man to talk to about Santa Anita Racing, the Chicago Cubs, and many other topics. He's Jeff Chappie Chapman. Chappie, what's up, my man?
Gentlemen, what's happening? And hopefully – it looks like the weather is going to be nice on Saturday. It's been very cold here, Pete, but looks like it's going to warm up a bit on Saturday, dry conditions. So we're finally we've had a lot of rain out here this winter, but it looks like it's going away and we should be bright and sunny on Saturday. So looking forward to a terrific card.
I always get suspicious when somebody tells me it's cold when it's 62 degrees, but I know you have had weird weather with all the rain. So we'll let it slide. Hopefully you can keep the parka in the closet and we can get some decent weather out there. I think it is going to warm up here in the middle of the country here. Well, eastern middle over in Kentucky as well. We have six races we're going to be talking about on this show, kicking off with the very first race in this pick six, race number seven. We've got fillies and mares in an allowance race going a mile on the turf. Pretty competitive stuff here with a field of 12 going postward. As the show continues, we have cool graphics and replays and things. But this first race, we're just going to sort of go old school in the money and talk it through. Chappie, I'd like to bring you in first on this one to give us hopefully the winner or a couple of horses of interest in race number seven.
All right, a couple of horses of interest here. I think that there's a ton of speed in this race, so it looks like it's going to set up for somebody coming from off the pace. So my top play is actually going to be the 10 Irish Patsy, who's a deep closer, but boy, it looks like it's going to set up for her and her late run. So I've got a couple prices that I'm going to use in here because of all the speed. Another horse I'm going to throw in the mix here is an absolute bomb, and that is the 7 Not Now. This horse ran horribly last time out, but that was off of a long, long layoff. This horse showed some talent early in the career. I find it very interesting that J.J. Hernandez ends up here. Horse was a deep closer, just going short, but has the look of a horse, especially with J.J. up, that can sit back and make a big run into all this speed as well. So those are the two that I'm going to use. I think this is a tough race, so I'm going to be spreading here. You know, a horse that I can mention is the 9 Royal Charter, just because the connections, Leonard Powell, European horse, Frankie Dettori gets up. There are no works for me to look at, but that horse has some intrigue to me. But those are kind of the three I'm gearing the ticket around because of all the speed in here.
Makes sense. I mean, it's a great opportunity when you have a pace situation where that's extreme, whether it's a lone front runner or a lot of speed setting up for a closer. That's when the theoretically slower horses can beat the theoretically faster horses, and you can sometimes get a bit of a turn up, a bit of a price. Hopefully Chappie is zeroing in on the right ones, mentioning the 10, 7, and 9 as the prime plays and leaving room to maybe spread with some backups. Duke, do you agree with Chappie's assessment of the pace, and who's your idea of the winner?
I do agree with the assessment of the pace, and I sort of agree with a lot of his choices, too. It's not a race you want to stick your neck out, I don't think. I don't think it's one of these races in a pick six that you're going to say, okay, I love the 10, or I love the 3, or I love the 7, like Chappie said. I think the 7 is a tremendous long shot in the spot. I mean, Chappie said he didn't run bad last time. He had no chance. I mean, you can basically just put a line through that race, and I have trips on that horse. I mean, 2 out of the 4 races, and the other 2, I mean, it ran very well. So, I mean, he's a must use for me, and he's going to be a big price. Irish Patsy's also a must use. McCarthy's been winning all these turf races. He's going to get a good setup this time. Got the highest speed figures. Been running in the same class. So that's a must use. I don't know much about these foreign horses at this moment. It's too bad. It's a little early for me with PPs on the foreign horses. So I don't get, but Frankie Dettori landing on the Leonard Powell horse interests me a little bit. Not saying the horse, I have no idea about the talent at this moment, but I wouldn't throw it out if you're playing the pick six. And then 2 others I would include. I'd include Henny's Crazy Train, who I think doesn't have to be part of the pace, although she was last time. I think she'll sit just off of it this time, and I think she can definitely beat these. And the 1 horse, Pleasant Wave, I think also will be off the pace, and a horse that could maybe come running really late, and maybe not an A type horse, but a B type horse. Pleasant Wave
sounds like 7, 10, and 9. Chappie's same 3 in a different order on the A line, looking to back up 3 and 1. I'll just chime in form wise about Royal Charter and say I would think that those competitive handicaps and being bet in those kind of races over there suggest a horse who could definitely compete at the allowance level if Royal Charter is ready, one that I definitely think it's wise to keep on the tickets. Let's move it along to race number 8 and get into the portion of our show where we get to look at some of the cool bells and whistles that the producer Dallas has designed for us. We've got an allowance optional claimer here, and a field of 8 was scheduled to go post, where Jam and Eddie, the 4, will not participate. An early scratch. One horse I wanted to take a quick look at in terms of some of the replays that we have is a horse who's the morning line favorite in this spot. And that is the number 3, California Tiger, a horse that I actually is not the morning line favorite. They made a big bet Jafin Safa the morning line favorite, but this is the horse that I think might actually end up being the favorite because of a potential pace advantage, Dallas, if we want to roll the tape and show what it looked like last time. California Tiger, loose and lonely on the lead, heading into that stretch run there at Santa Anita and finding enough to get the job done as the favorite. I was thinking there was an opportunity for California Tiger to be dangerous again in this spot, and at the very least, a horse that I'm pretty confident is going to take a lot of money. Duke, we'll start this one off with you, and I'll start the question by asking about California Tiger specifically. Are you with or against in this spot?
That's a tricky question with California Tiger, because if you notice California Tiger's race going 7 furlongs, I mean, that day, it definitely, I mean, it fits tremendously here in this spot. But if you look, the horse changed trainers last time. The horse was claimed that day and went to Hector Palma, who is a very capable trainer, but went a route the first time off the claim. So I don't know if it didn't like the route or didn't like the new barn. You know, it's one of these things where you got to, in a pick 6, he's a must include, but as a favorite, I wouldn't be singling. Must use, not a single. You know what I mean?
Where would you land instead?
Well, big bet Hopin Safa is a must use off the layoff. I mean, the race he ran 2 back was pretty incredible. I mean, he's going to get a little bit far behind in this sprint, but he is going to be rolling late. So he's definitely a horse I'm going to use. The other horse I think I'm going to use is Left Hand Man. Just pace wise, I think, like you were talking earlier, I think he's the stalker in here. I think the California horse is the leader, but this horse is the stalker. And the cutback, maybe a half a furlong, is going to help him. So I'm just basically kind of going through this race with, what is that, 236, 237? 237, right?
237 are those numbers. And I get Left Hand Man for sure. Second race off the layoff, that slight cutback in distance, and a trainer in Mark Glatt, who is going great guns at the moment. So looking for three to try to lock this one up and move on is Duke. Chappie, how do you see it?
I'm going to use the same horses as Duke. I'm just going to add one other horse in there, and that would be the 5, Tis a Good Thing. If you go back to March 9th on XBTV, Big Bet, Joff and Safa, and Tis a Good Thing worked together. And basically, I would say a slight nod to Big Bet, Joff and Safa, but Tis a Good Thing ran really well. And I think Big Bet, Joff and Safa, I just love saying that name. Obviously, the key to, if that horse could ever break well, right? The horse, I mean, maybe the time off now, all three starts off slow, off slow, off slow. That horse has a lot of talent. That would be my top pick. But just because the other horse might get the jump on Big Bet, Joff and Safa, I'm going to use the 2357 in here.
And that's about how you no grading into A's and B's, just sort of using those four and hoping for the best, Chappie?
Yeah, I would make Big Bet at Joff and Safa my A if I knew the horse would break well. But I don't have any big preference here, A's and B's, of those four.
To Big Bet Joff and Safa's defense, normally I say when a horse breaks slowly three times, the fourth time they're going to break slowly too. It has been almost 300 days since the last start, and there are some very quick-looking works, 2 and 3 back. So maybe you're right. Maybe that problem has been solved, and maybe Big Bet Joff and Safa will not be as far back as I was saying, and California Tiger will have more on his hands as we continue on to the graded stakes portion of this show. There's some stakes action earlier that folks are going to want to check out as well on this loaded Santa Anita card on Saturday. But we'll move on to the Monrovia, 6.5 down the hill, one of our favorite configurations to talk about on this show. 7 are going to go postward because the 2, Ice Dancing, is out. These fillies and mares, very curious to get the guys' opinions on this one. Chappie, we're going to get to you in a second, but I did want to start off just showing another little bit of tape that we had queued up on number 6, Ag Bullet, who we'll get there in a minute. Ag Bullet, the last day, 7-2 shot, see coming down the hill here, and this horse, the morning line favorite in this spot, and one that I was very curious to get the guy's opinion on. And you know, always a great place to start in a race is trying to make that assessment of, is this a favorite? Is this a favorite to key? Is this a favorite to use? And the best of all situation, is this a favorite that we can maybe be against? Chappie, give us your analysis of this year's Monrovia.
Well, I think that was an interesting replay because it not only shows Ag Bullet, but the lighter gray was Graceland Gray in there. And Graceland Gray, I think, needs the lead. And I know cutting back, you know, this horse can be on the engine going a mile, but this horse can break it from the rail. This horse is going to be on the lead going 6.5. And I think Ag Bullet's going to track that horse. And I think there's a chance that Graceland Gray could get away here. And if you notice there, had some trouble, kind of was down on the rail, had to turn the head, and was re-rallying a bit late. So I think those two are my A's, 1 and 6. And, you know, Duke and I, all of us always talk about if a horse likes the hill or not, they seem to do well again. And if you go back, a replay with plenty of trouble was the 8, Get the Money, who kept getting into trouble and kind of had to start, stop several times and still got up to win. Now has the nice cozy outside draw with Frankie, who we've talked about multiple times, how well he rides the hill. So I'm 1-6-8 in here.
and Brian Corner, another trainer who's going terrific at the moment. Duke, I know you always give extra consideration to Tory down the hill. We'll get the money, be the one to get the money in this spot. Do you like Chappie's ideas, or do you want to pull in something else?
I'm not sure why I'm here, because all I'm doing is repeating what Chappie's saying.
You guys are becoming redundant.
What's going on here? I mean, I like Graceland Gray. The only thing I don't like about Graceland Gray is the post. Not a big one post down the hill, but I think if Graceland Gray breaks, I think she's going to be super, super tough. She got in trouble last time. She was kind of the up back horse last time. And I think today, maybe JJ just says, okay, we're just going to go, and we're just going to see if we can just wire the field. That's my top choice, and I agree with Jappy's second and third choice. I agree that AG Bullet did nothing wrong last time, and you can't leave out Mr. Dottori on the hill. So
168.
That's a huge move with Frankie showing up there. But JJ, I think, maybe had his choice and chose the one, right? Probably. So he ended up there maybe by default.
You would think. That can be a dangerous game, but this seems pretty straightforward. You mentioned the point about the inside not necessarily being where you want to be down the hill, Duke. Am I right that that's a bigger issue when it's a big full field, maybe in a field of seven, especially with a horse with speed, not as bad? Like, I'm not put off Graceland Gray because of the field size vis-a-vis the post. Is that reasonable assumption?
I'd agree with that, because there's less horses for her to – that first turn, it goes to the other way. So she's basically in the outside post. You know, right. You got to think of the one post as the – it's the opposite on the down the hill, because the first turn goes to the right. Then the turn comes to the left. So he's got to break sharp. She breaks slow. She's in a deep spot, deep hole. You know, they have that race in Hong Kong, if you ever watch Hong Kong. The 5-furlong race at Sha Tin.
Yep.
The outside post is the inside post. All the horses fight to get to the outside rail, and it's the same scenario. They want to get out, and they want to get right to the right quickly. So, but in a 7-horse field, I think you're right. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, we'll see if that one can get away from there with alacrity. Let's move on to the race that gives the day its name. Race 10 is the Santa Anita Derby. Grade 1 action for these 3-year-olds going a mile and an eighth. Field of 8 going postward in here. JK and I have a video on YouTube, not just about this one, but about the other races as well that are part of the Big 3 Pick 3, one of the cool racing promotions happening this weekend. Should mention also that there's a really cool promotion on Sunday. We're going to have a special show about that on the podcast side. If you like our YouTube content, we do encourage you to subscribe and click the notification bell for all of our YouTube content. But if you like our act, check out our podcast as well. We're going to have an audio-only show with the guy who won the Florida Derby handicapping contest, Anthony Matera, to talk about the coast-to-coast pick 5 on Sunday, linking races between Gulfstream and Santa Anita. $100,000 added to the pot in that one. And so basically it's a big de facto reduced takeout in a pool where typically the computer players aren't as active. Great opportunity for game selection in a pool that I know a lot of horse players are going to be eager to dive into. Make sure you check out the coast-to-coast bet. There's a good one on Saturday, but the one on Sunday with the money added is another one folks should be circling. But back to the Santa Anita Derby, JK and I looked at this, and we both focused on the same horse, not showing a lot of imagination to come up with imagination, who we'll see here on the screen. Not probably in the top 3 of Baffert runners that have attracted a lot of attention so far this season, you know, behind the likes of Nisos and Maymoon and Muth. But imagination in figure terms has an advantage over this field and shows some courage here late in the piece back in the San Felipe Stakes to get that nose down on the line. I had trouble seeing beyond him, honestly, in this spot, hoping the group can maybe show a little bit more creativity. Duke, so you don't have to repeat Chappie again, we'll let you go first this time.
No, I'll just repeat you. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing here. Remember last time we did this show, though, must have been San Felipe Day, right? It must have been, right? Because Niso scratched. And I told you guys that I liked Imagination as the other horse. Well, he ended up 4-5 because Niso scratched. So that was a wonderful pick I gave out. But at least
A winner is a winner. Better a short price than a long face, Duke.
He's not going to be any bigger this time. He might be lower, and he looks even better in this spot than he did in that spot. So there's not much for me to say. He's the fastest horse. There's nothing. There's no new faces coming in here that look any good to me. I mean, they don't even look. This horse might could win by. I think it can win by about 10 lengths in this race. That's my opinion.
I like the over-under. Now, if we had that kind of betting in the U.S., you would get a price on that one. Chappie, any dissenting opinion? Can we bring in another country to hear from in terms of who's going to win the Santa Anita Derby?
I think there's a possible upsetter, but it's not a price at all. I strictly think it's a two-horse race, but I think Stronghold can give Imagination a fight. I think this horse is improving. The works on we keep talking about it, but I watch a lot of the works, and we all do, on XBTV. If you go back and watch that March 25th work, 58-2, I'm not a number. We always talk about time means nothing, right? That doesn't – I don't care. It's how they do it, whether it's 102 or 58. But this horse, that could have almost been a breezing work, and I think this horse is just breathing fire right now. And I think Stronghold is coming up to a giant race – second, not really second off the long bench, but let's call it that. So second is a 3-year-old. So I can't single here. I got to go 3-4.
Okay. I like the sound of that. And you'd put Stronghold on top of Imagination. I mean, that's pretty bold.
I did a tip sheet and I put Stronghold on top. I just said 3-4, call it a day.
No guts, no glory. Sounds like you will be flipping the exacta in case it does come in that more logical way. We had a good question in the comments about how many times Bob Baffert has won the Santa Anita Derby. I should know. I feel like I should know this. Do you know it offhand, Chappie? It feels like the kind of thing they might drill into you as a Santa Anita employee.
I have no idea. I'm trying to Google it right now because I'm not going to cheat.
The over-under is probably, here it is, a record 9 times. Now, some of those, that's going back. His first one would have been Cavaneer in 1996. So Tim's question actually is, how many Santa Anita Derbies has Bob won in the last 20 years? So it's a bit of a trick question. Well, I guess not. I think he won 3 in the 90s. So you can you don't need a degree in math to figure out the rest. But because it was Cavaneer in the engineering,
General Cavaneer. Even more of a trick question because yep. Justify was just disqualified.
Oh, you're right. And I wonder if that 9-time stat that I found includes that new bit of information. That's right. Boldoro now a Santa Anita Derby winner. So that is a head scratcher, Tim.
For all you Bob Baffert fans, that horse should have never been a Triple Crown winner because if he was disqualified in a race leading up to the Triple Crown, the horse should not have been allowed to race.
He wouldn't have had the points. He wouldn't have the points, right?
No, wouldn't have been allowed to race.
Racing history changed thanks to some stuff going on at the old CHRB there. But that's a podcast for another time.
That was my biggest hit as far as a early bet, whatever. I'm blank here.
Future bet. So,
future, my God. So woulda, coulda, shoulda, Duke. I'll take the money and I'm not turning it back in.
Hey, you don't have to give it back.
Right. Chappie doesn't care if we badmouth his horse as long as he gets to keep the money. And you do. I also had a future on Justify there, so I shouldn't be complaining too much. And I shouldn't be red boarding things that happened 6 years ago. Let's move on, guys, to this very competitive portion of the card, the late double that closes out this pick six we're talking about on the show. We'll thank our sponsors at Santa Anita again, and we'll also remind you about this coast-to-coast bet on Sunday and also Santa Anita Derby Betting Challenge. Great opportunity to bet these races that we're talking about. $1,500 buy-in. You can get all the details over at expressbet.com/tournaments if you want to check that one out. The action continues with race number 11. We've got an allowance race going a mile on the turf. And as you can see, an oversubscribed field in this spot. Only 12 will run. As of now, it looks like it's going to be the 12 in the body of the field. Chappie, we'll bring you back in for this one. A head scratcher or a race where you feel like you can narrow down?
Oh, boy. So Usually I play two tickets and I come up with some wild single or something that's at least 6-7 to 1. So I might take a shot in here with the 8 Allegato. I know Allegato is not huge on winning, but Allegato's also faced some very good horses. I've always been a big fan. I've chased this horse forever. So maybe I get obsessed with horses sometimes. This is another deep closer that's going to come rolling late. But I think at a price, I think this isn't a bunch of world beaters. You know, this horse ran a nice closing third to Kings River Knight, 2 back, you know, ran second to Seal Team. And any of those horses would be 1 to 5 in here. So, you know, I guess my other A would probably be Man Among Men, just because the upside ran big off the bench. And obviously that was a prep to go long. Other than that, I don't have any strong opinions. I don't think this is the strongest bunch in the world. So I'm kind of hoping Duke's going to lean me towards another horse that's like, you know, 10-15 to 1. Because this is kind of usually in his wheelhouse. Or usually both of us come up with some. I couldn't come up with more than that. So I'm going to leave it at 8-7.
You mentioned Man Among Men. We have some tape on that one, this Richard Mandela trainee that we'll pull up now from this downhill race. You can see Man Among Men showing some speed there and sticking on pretty well in the lane at Santa Anita in that spot. That was the first race off of 539 days. And the fact that it was a downhill race and the horse, you know, as I said, stuck on pretty well to be second in that spot does seem like a horseman like Mandela stretching out to a mile now, that might have been as much of a prep as anything else. If that's the case and this horse moves forward, the others might end up running for second, but tough to trust just in the sense of there's so many other potential ways to go. Duke, where did you end up landing in this tricky-looking allowance race?
Man Among Men's definitely my top choice. I think you hit it right on the head with the stretch out. I think it was probably planned all along to go a mile with this horse. I mean, this horse ran a mile the first time it ever ran, you know, so I think Mandela always thought this horse was going to be a distance horse, and that was a really good bang-up second race he came back and run. He's got to be the top choice here because Allegato is just a horse that just does not like to win. I mean, Allegato is the best horse in this race, but you look at Allegato's form and it's second, third, 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 second, third, third. It's tough to use horses like that in a pick six scenario just because they just like to run second, third. And I think Man Among Men is the horse that just is going to step up. And this could be a one number exactly. I think it could be just those two. The only long shot that I could come up with for Chappie that he's looking for a long shot is if you look at Sydney Street, number 3, the last time Berrios rode that horse, somehow that horse ran a tremendous, tremendous race, did absolutely nothing last time. I don't know what happened. I wrote that he was lugging in the first turn, but I mean, that wasn't enough for him to run 10th and not lift a hoof. So, I mean, if you were looking for the long shot, that's the one I'm coming up with, but I don't have a lot of confidence in that horse.
A lot of 7, a little 8 more for underneath, more of a vertical play, maybe a penny on the 3 for Duke to try to juice up the payoffs here as we get towards the sharp end of this pick 6 at Santa Anita on Santa Anita Derby Day. We close things out with more stakes action. We've got the Echo Eddie Stakes. We're going 6.5 for these Calbreds on the dirt this time around. And we've got a little bit more once more to the videotape, as the great Warner Wolf would have said, as we're going to take a look here at a horse as my favorite name of any on the day as a diehard Met fan. And yes, they finally got their first win in the bottom of the 9th and the back end of that doubleheader today. Makes me think of the great Tom Terrific, Tom Seaver. What a great name for a horse. This was a nice looking effort from Tom Seaver, showing a bit of class there at the end. Is that going to be enough to get Tom Seaver the victory in this spot? 2 for 2, Duke. Can Tom Seaver make it 3 for 3? Can he strike out the side?
I don't get why he's running on dirt. Do you? I don't understand.
No, it's like turf breeding.
Yeah, I know Enola Gray was, you know, that was a D'Amato horse, too, I believe. That was
yes,
solid. I just don't understand why you change something that when you're when the horse is rolling along 2 for 2 on a turf. I wouldn't throw it on the dirt, but I mean, I'm not Phil D'Amato. I'm going with two horses here. I'm going against Tom Seaver. I'm going with 2x4. If you go back 3 races, 2x4's dirt race, that race was tremendous. I even had the horse getting left and still winning. If you notice, the first race of 2x4's life got beat by Shady Tiger. That's the other horse I'm using. I think those two just lay over this field. I think Shady Tiger is maybe just a hair slower, but I'm going to use them both in the pick six, and I'm going to lean a hair on 2x4, just thinking he beat her before, or he beat him before, he can beat him again. And I think they're both going to get a decent pace in there, because it looks like there's pace in here for horses like Known Idea and Prince Prancelot. Look like they'll set the pace, and maybe even, was it Lord Prancelot it is? And Refocus too. There's 3 speed horses in here, so I think they're going to get great setups. And I don't trust Tom Seaver on the dirt, so I'm just gonna go with 3 and 8.
Three, probably in the other order though, right?
8-3 Duke? 3 would be the right.
8-3 for Duke. I'm taking a little bit of a look back at Enola Gray, who was a D'Amato runner, did run a 100 buyer speed figure in the Fleet Treat back in the day, was a dual surface performer, graded stake winner on the turf, but did run that fastest figure on the dirt. Just looking at the pedigree, siblings wise, there aren't any. Tom Seaver, the one that the first one to make it to the races. Now, Sir Prancelot, I think we think of as more of a turf sire, but why don't I pull some numbers really quickly here using the magic of DRF Formulator? Looking at dirt, I mean, good numbers, dirt sprinting, barely any attempts, dirt routing, and then, you know, all the success on the turf. So the jury is out, I suppose, on whether Tom can emulate Mom and be that dual surface performer. Chappie, do you have any faith in Tom Seaver? If not, what direction do you want to go?
Well, this wouldn't happen because the Mets would have to be in the playoffs. But if you look at it like the playoffs,
that's
right?
That's got no chance.
The Cub fan is talking trash. This is what it's come to, folks.
If you go to the playoffs, you're probably going three-man rotation, right? So I actually have the 8 as well on top with Duke 2x4. And my second choice is Tom Seaver. He's my second starter in the rotation. Just has shown too much talent. So I think, hey, why not use this horse in a stake? Right, it's a stake race. It's a $125,000 race. I trust D'Amato, so I was 8-10-3. So I'm just the two of those horses, but I got to use Tom in the rotation as my second starter. So, and hopefully he can, you know, go the full 9 innings, and we'll see.
Along they might be able to beat the Marlins, maybe the Mets. That's about all. Even the Angels.
Guzman and Gary Gentry, and we'll hope for the best here. The blue and orange faithful, guys. Let's just confirm this. You did not talk before the show. This is you actually came up with all this stuff independently. But that's, I'll tell you what, on these shows when agreement, you know, a lot of people will joke, oh, that horse has a lot of weight on his back because so many people are on him, but in the history of these shows, we've done pretty well when there's agreement, when we sing in a little bit of a chorus. So with that in mind, pretty interested to follow you guys in, and we'll put some picks together. What about in terms of wagering strategy? Is there one horse or one sequence, whether it's been one of the ones that we talked about on the show thus far today or something elsewhere on the card? Is there a particular place that you feel like you're going to be putting a particular percentage of your money? Duke, I'll start you off with that one.
There's a horse in the early pick 5 that I think.
Oh, no.
What's that? There, you better not.
If you have the same horse here,
that's like,
oh, we're going to have to separate. Wacko.
In race 3, there's a horse that I have a big trip on that.
Okay.
Who a trainer is actually having it's going back 20 years when he was at Fairplexer. Gary Studi's having a tremendous, tremendous meet. I'm a little worried that Victor's on the horse because I'm not a big Victor fan. But Haley Lavade, I have a huge trip on that horse, and I think might just surprise in this early pick five. If somebody's looking for a good price single, I think Haley Labad, race three.
15-1 on the morning line. If that one wins, Duke, it'll be a case of Julio get the stretch. How about you, Chappie? Who's this horse for you on the early part of the card?
All right, I'm going to race two. I thought Duke and I were going to be on the same page.
Your race past performances tonight would have made that a likelihood, but we dodged that bullet. Who do you like in the second race?
I like this horse first time out, and it got left at the gate, and it's coming back, and I think it's 6 or 8-1 in the morning line. I wrote a line through it, so I can't tell. But I like the three-horse Santorina for Mark Glatt second time out. This horse adds the blinkers here, lost to that freak Vlahos, but had no chance after completely blowing the start. So I'm going to dive in and bet on Santorina in the second race.
I love it. Didn't prep you for this, guys, so feel free to punt the question right back in my face. But we talked a little bit about the Santa Anita Derby. As much of a key prep as that's been for the Kentucky Derby over the years, it doesn't necessarily feel like a year where that's going to be the case. Do either of you have a Derby horse yet at this point? Or, you know, you mentioned having the future a few years ago on Justified. Do either of you have any live bets or at least a horse you've been circling around and thinking, you know, and you can go with the favorite here, or you can pull out something at a little bit of a price. Just curious, Chappie, if anybody in particular has impressed you thus far as the Kentucky Derby goes.
Nothing for me. I bet a pretty good future bet on May Moon for the Preakness, but then May Moon ended up not running Saturday, so I'm not exactly sure. I thought May Moon would be in the Santa Anita Derby, so I'm a little confused, but I got May Moon at 24-1, I think, something like that. But nothing Derby-wise.
That's not bad. I wonder what's going to happen, because you do have the Illinois Derby coming up, too, that would be well-spaced, I would think, for of course, potentially trying the Preakness, but I don't know. I thought that was a potential landing spot for Nisos, but, of course, I don't know where Nisos has been. So we'll have to follow what's going on with this triumvirate of Baffert's at the top, as well as our guy running here on Saturday to track it. Duke, how about you? What's caught your eye so far? Are you a Fierceness believer?
I'm against Fierceness. I think Fierceness is one of these horses that likes to be either looking into the clear. There's got to be something to do with something where he sees daylight. And I don't think he'll see daylight in the Kentucky Derby. I just don't think horses in a 20-horse field will. I don't think he's that fast. I mean, that pace was super, super slow in the Florida Derby. And if you look at his three wins, nobody's been ahead of him. Maybe they were inside of him, but nobody's been ahead of him. And every time he's been behind horses, he's run terrible, sure. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a tough assignment in a 20-horse field. I mean, if he draws between and he gets squeezed, I mean, you're going to take him at – what's he going to be? He's going to be 4-1 at the most, right?
I think he'd be shorter than that. He's going to have a big figure advantage unless something unexpected happens tomorrow.
I got to go against him. I mean, I just seen that race run a million times, and horses are like that. If they can't get in front, which I don't think he will, because I don't think he's that quick. I say, you know what he is? He's one of those horses. He's either going to – you can put him on top. So if you like long shots, you can put him on top. But I don't see how you could use him underneath. I don't see
win or run out for Fierceness. Yeah, that makes sense. He's either going to freak or he's going to have trouble and not be there. I wonder what the pace is going to look like. You know, in this era of the Derby, it feels like it's taken foreign horses to inject – pace in the last several years without, and who knows, maybe Forever Young will, another horse that doesn't like to have dirt kicked on him at all. Maybe he just goes, but I don't know. I can't shake the idea of Fierceness, if they just give him the right kind of ride, being able to maybe break and go on with it and run to that form. But, you know, you make a compelling case that he could just be what the Brits call a flat track bully, the kind of horse that really just needs to have everything go his own way. It is harder to have everything go your own way when you've got 19 rivals. Somebody gets an idea in their head to go to the lead, and all of a sudden he could be a bit more up against it than the raw figures would suggest. Do you have anybody that you have circled or been looking at, Duke?
So I think the most interesting race is going to be the Wood Memorial. I think Deterministic was super, super impressive. Now, it was on a sloppy racetrack. So I don't know. I want to see the track be fast at Aqueduct, which it hasn't been in, I don't know, forever. It seemed like they get rain or snow.
We've had more rain than California.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it never stopped raining over the weekend. Sam Nita actually probably made the right move not running this past week. I mean, it rained at my house for 24 straight hours. It was ridiculous. Again, I mean, it just never stops. But I think this race, this Wood Memorial, the Deterministic and the Pletcher horse there, Tuscan Sky, I think that's a good test for Tuscan Sky. It's a good test for Deterministic. And I think those are real racehorses. I think they run solid speed figures, and I think you're going to see a horse race there. I'm not a big fan of Dornock. I know my buddy owns him, and I'm rooting for him, but I don't see it. I don't think that horse has ever gotten any better, but we'll see what happens at the Bluegrass. I mean, you'll see what happens at the Bluegrass. You're going to be there.
I'm excited. I'm really pumped. I'm going to be on TV for the Brits covering it. It's a loaded race. What I really love about the Bluegrass this year is how it's bringing in all these different form lines. So I think it's going to tell us a story and give us some clues. And just to underline your point about Deterministic, Duke, it seemed like the word I kept hearing was, you know, that Clement really wanted to come back in an allowance race. And, you know, he was definitely going to be short of fitness. He wasn't sure he was ready for a test like that. So to show the kind of class that he did scything through that field late on, he just feels like a runner from a condition point of view who's just got to get better. And in that big three, pick three, which is a bet I'm so glad is back, $3 minimum. You can link the all three of those races, the Wood, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. One of many very exciting wagering opportunities this weekend, along with that Santa Anita Derby Challenge, which I know a lot of our viewers will be in. You had a point about the Santa Anita Derby Challenge?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say, this is so off the wall. Never mind. I was going to say, you look like you're in a safe house or like you always say you're in the Brooklyn Bunker. Is that the Lexington?
That's the usual. The Brooklyn Bunker is that's with the vinyl behind me. That's the usual setup that I have. We're in an Airbnb here in downtown Lexington. We've got all the exposed brick, but I see where you're going. I think it's the lighting. The light shone right on the face. It's
I just want to make sure you make a signal that you're okay or yeah.
The safe word is just fine.
Are they holding you in Lexington in a real bunker?
It is kind of a literal bunker. There are some windows poised periodically around
I'm
here.
I'm sorry I interrupted with that. That was
great. And just while we're talking wagering opportunities, I do want to put in a shout one more time, just because, as we always say, and Duke, I know you agree with this, when racetracks do things that are genuinely player friendly, like adding $100,000 to the pot, like they're doing in this seeded coast to coast pick five on Sunday. As players, it's a good idea to try to support them. And what I love about, you know, I was hinting at this before, but what I really love about this C2C bet on Sunday from a game selection point of view, sometimes we have reduced takeout opportunities like, a big carryovers and such and things that are, they're great, but they'll really attract those computer players, those best players, those toughest players for us to compete against. And so there's still good opportunities, but somewhat mitigated by that. With this money being added in the coast-to-coast bet on Sunday, we've got that dollar minimum, which reduces their advantage. And they're not known for playing those bets as much anyway. So, I mean, I'm sure you agree, Duke. It's one that's at least, you know, it's a pick five. You can't play unless you have opinions. But it's one that you want to at least take an extra look at, wouldn't you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, a dollar pick five with extra money in it. And you know, the dollar makes a big deal with the computer bettors. They love those 20 cents and 50 cents. If you look at these payoffs on these giveaway days, when they do these 20 cent pick sixes, those prices stink. I mean, those guys dominate those things. They just, they hit it, you know, they hit it 25, 35 times. And it's just not, it's becoming unfair, really. And I think every track's got to realize that those 20 cent, 50 cent things aren't working anymore. They just don't work. I mean, a 50 cent trifecta doesn't work anymore. If you look at Santa Anita's payoffs on tries, I guarantee you those prices are way, way up. you know, I know it's a half, it's, it should be double, but I bet you it's way more than double.
No doubt.
This is why we look to promote opportunities like contests where, you know, there's no takeout in the prize pool and you're competing against other, you know, actual living, breathing human beings. A good reason to take an extra look at those. A bet like this $3 big three pick three, encouraging people to look at that. And then again, one more time, the Coast to Coast bet on Sunday. We hope folks get involved. We hope that we got a great crowd here tonight. Fantastic stuff. Appreciate that very much. We'll encourage everybody to subscribe to the In the Money Media YouTube channel. Click that notification button. We're going to have our monster pods coming up. Going to make you guys, hopefully both of you, will get you in there to talk about some horses on there and hopefully have an opportunity real soon to do another one of these collaborations, Chappie. We've been doing them since opening day. They've been very popular and really appreciate both of your guys' help.
You're welcome. Hopefully we have half as many winners as we gave out last time because Chappie was in fuego.
Let's go. I'm ready.
That's the plan. All right. Well, thank Chappie one more time. Duke one more time. Producer Dallas for coming in and adding to our production values as well. Really appreciate that. Our sponsors at Santa Anita and our friends at America's Best Racing for helping push the signal out to horse players across the country and around the world. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.